And I think everybody has a Bible, but if you don't have one, grab one in the back, and if anybody needed one. But I love this week where we really get to focus on the cross and focus on that journey to the cross and to think of the depth of love that our King has for us. The depth of love. And that moment when every single one of us came to that place of surrender. Maybe you haven't yet, and you might come to that place, and I pray you do, but when we just have surrendered and we think of everything he has given, the sacrifice that the cross is, and when we look to all of that, realizing the freedom we have in Christ, the freedom we have in our King. May we never take that for granted. May we cherish that. May we truly prepare our hearts. You know, that's what we talked about this past Sunday, preparing our hearts and asking the Lord, search me, show me. Are there any anxieties in my hearts? Try me. And we've got that heart picture. I emailed it out to everybody and all the different things to look through. And then when we see where we are in the book of Psalms tonight, it's an interesting thing because this is another psalm of praise. Remember, we're walking through a few psalms right now that there's four in a row of praise. And it's almost a little reminder to us as we do that work of, Lord, search me, because it can be heavy, right? Search me. Show me these things. Don't forget to praise. Don't forget to praise. To praise the King, to cherish the cross, to cherish the resurrection power. That's what we get to do, and that's a gift. So we're going to be digging into this psalm, and I do, I know we talked about it at prayer, but for those that weren't at prayer and those who are listening online, that friendly reminder to be praying for Pastor David and Dan as they go on this trip to the Punjab region, be praying for the Holy Spirit filling, be praying for the power of the resurrection and cross to be seen by all these folks. Keep it in prayer. I know I'm a broken record on this one, but we got to pray without ceasing on this. You know, and when we get back, I'm going to still be a broken record because those seeds planted, we've got to pray. It's a, as my honey bunny likes to say, guard the back door. We got to guard the back door. Cover it in prayer. Cover it in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the gift to be in your house together right now, Lord. Father, help us to not take that for granted. Thank you, Lord, this week that we get to focus, Lord Jesus, on the cross. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of relationship and intimacy with you. Lord, we do lift up the trip coming up. Be at the center of every single detail, Lord. Be magnified and glorified. Lord, how precious to ponder the work of the cross and to have our body being sent out at that time to go in the resurrection power, filled with the Spirit, to boldly preach Christ. Use them for your glory. And Lord, as we dig into your word this evening, lead me. And Father, teach us. Draw us closer unto you. Show us how your word is so beautifully woven together to show your love that first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Have your way, Heavenly Father, in our lives for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week we were in Psalm 66 and we looked at this idea of memorialized praise. And when we looked at this psalm, it was one that was praise for national deliverance. And we saw Israel having this moment of praise and excitement over this. And that psalm also went down to the individual. And going down to the individual, we saw that individual sacrifice, the individual vows. We saw in this that call at the end to cherish the fact God hears us. And he is the God of mercy. And we were given a very important reminder about that prayer and praise to not regard what in our hearts? Iniquity. To not regard iniquity in our hearts. So our charge check-in is, one, how's your heart with his name? Because we saw the reverence of his name within this psalm. And did you think about that? How's your heart with his name? And again, I'm challenging us as a body to take the name of God seriously, to not take it lightly, to not use it lightly, to take it seriously, to truly ponder the power of his name. We had a meeting with someone who had shared that idea. You know, if you think in Hebrew, there was a reverence. They wouldn't even say the name. To think of that reverence of our name. Lord God Almighty. How is your heart there? The other piece to look at that we to ponder is, are you a living sacrifice? And I remind you, we had that teaching Pastor David did in Romans 12. Go back and listen if you weren't here. Are you a living sacrifice? And if you're not, what's in the way? And maybe you are, but that question, what's in the way, shows things you're still holding on to. I still don't really want to fully let all that go. Let it go. Let it go for him. And then that question to ask yourself, what dost thou regard in thine heart? We went old school English on that one. But what do you regard in your heart? Think about that. Because that regard was to cherish. What do you cherish in your heart? We're going to go on tonight, Psalm 67. The title of tonight's message is Prayerful Praise. Prayerful Praise. These four psalms are a little like mini boot camp on praise in a lot of ways. I'm liking it. And it's a timely psalm to look at this in the midst of Holy Week. And it's a pause for us. It's a time to just pause and praise. Praise and prayer married together. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. A psalm of thanksgiving as we look at the categories. We see to the chief musician, as we know, that points to Maestro God himself. Yes, the leader's appointed at that time, but I always like to, whenever I see to the chief musician, I say, what would it be like to sing under his direction? So we see that. And we see here on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. And in this, we see there's no set psalmist that's attributed. There's no set time that's attributed to this. But we are going to see within this psalm that, and some Bible translations have that, an invocation and a doxology, because we're going to see that's what this truly is. We're going to see in this psalm a call to invoke, a call to seek God's continued blessing on Israel with a purpose that nations then experience God's salvation. Nations then experience God's justice. Nations then experience his bounty. And that bounty is, there's a physical application there, but as we see with the whole counsel of the Word of God, we're going to see a spiritual application. And through all of that, that there would then be praise unto the Lord God Almighty. Praise unto the King of Kings. We see also in this that idea of a doxology, because it's a short praise unto the Lord. Seven verses of praise unto the Lord, but packed. This is one that I think in looking at this and praying on it, I think it may become one of my new favorite psalms in looking at it, because it tells a full picture story. When we look at this psalm, seven verses 2-5, and then also verse 7, all point to this idea of all nations or all peoples. And it's a great psalm that reminds us, particularly in the culture we're in, where we want to make sometimes race a big topic. There's three: Jew, Gentile, Christian. Ba-boom. And we're going to be reminded of that. Those three, and we're going to see them all at play. In this psalm, we're going to once again say, thank you, Lord God, for Israel. Reminding ourselves the church does not replace Israel. Period. And in it, we're going to see through Jesus Christ, we're grafted in. And we give praise for that. And in that, we pray for all to be saved. In some ways, if we think about a passage we've looked at sometimes, 2 Peter 3:9. And I'll read it to remind us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He has a promise. He's long-suffering toward us. And look at this. He's not willing that any should perish. That's the heart of the Lord God Almighty. But that all, every single one, should come to repentance. I think if 2 Peter 3:9 were to be set to a film and there needed an underscore track, this psalm we're going to look at, I think, could be the underscore. Because this psalm shows it's a hymn of God's heart for that very idea that we see from the very beginning to the end. Think of the fall. The fall takes place, and then what does he do? He covers them. They're aware of their nakedness, and then he covers them. That desire from the beginning, when the fall came, when sin crept in, when now we are dead, and we're only going to be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. It's a story throughout that he wants all to come to repentance. I'm going to read the whole text and then we'll dig through it. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. What a song of praise. So we see where this begins. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Mercy. Bless us. His face to shine upon us. It's a call, it's an invocation on calling upon his mercy, calling upon his blessings, calling upon his presence. Now this idea of his face to shine upon us would be one that would remind us, and if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic blessing that the high priest would give and would desire for the people to see. And the psalmist here, when we look at it in Numbers, we see Jehovah, but when we look at it within the psalm, we see Elohim. But when we look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So that's where this idea that we're seeing here and cause his face to shine upon us, that's pointing to that Aaronic blessing, that desire for the smile of God's approval. And if you think about Sunday, we talked about what approval are you looking for, God's or man's? And then for us, when we think about this, there's only one way that we're going to see that approval from the Lord God Almighty, anchored and living in Christ alone. Anchored and living in Christ alone. So we see here that first Selah that comes up is a Selah that says, ponder God's mercy. The psalmist starts with God's mercy. Guilty as charged, I need your mercy to be forgiven. That's where our psalmist starts, with his mercy, God's mercy. And then seeking God's blessing. And blessing, I think that word, unfortunately, our culture's taken the idea of blessing and it's made it kind of mucky and messy. Because when we think about God blessing us, God blessing, and I'm not saying that sometimes something material isn't a blessing from the Lord God Almighty, but that's not what we're talking about when we look here at that blessing. We're talking about a gift from God that its purpose is to glorify his name, that it helps his people to grow in him, to then teach others about him, that they then want to glorify his name. His blessings have very little to do about us, but it all has to do with him. That mercy, that blessing, and then his face shining upon us, his approval. So we see here the psalmist starts with a bit of, think of God's mercy, think of his blessings, think of his face smiling upon you, and sit on that for a little bit. Sit on that. Do you seek his mercy? Do you seek his blessings? And his blessings, that very phrase in and of itself implies resting in his sovereignty. Sometimes a trial is a blessing because it's refining our character for eternal purposes, as we see in James. And then are we also seeking that presence, that smile of approval? Keep running the race, my child. That drives us unto obedience, that drives us closer and closer to him. And when we think about mercy, there's something else to remind ourselves. When we think of God be merciful to us, desiring God's mercy shifts our perspective. Because mercy knows I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. And it's the wonderful majesty and power of the cross, which we're about to celebrate, that gives us access to that mercy. And then there's a purpose we see in this. The purpose, read verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So we see here the psalmist begins with this plea, God, we want your mercy, we want your blessings, we want your face to shine upon us so we can be really exalted. No, it's not about me. I always think when we see moments in like that song, you don't sing, it's all about me, Jesus. No, it's all about you. And that's where this goes to verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, that the way of the Lord God Almighty, his precepts, his words, who he is, may be known. And known where? On earth. And it then details, what do you mean on earth? Your salvation among all nations. That heart of God is for all. We just saw it in 2 Peter 3:9. And let's remind ourselves where that begins. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Who's got it memorized with the amount we've looked at this? But it's important. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What did we just see when we were looking at this psalm? That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. His salvation is that which then blesses everybody. All the nation blessed. A reminder, saints, what we're looking at here, and again, the more that we go through Psalms, the more I'm just in awe of how the Lord, through his word, makes certain things so clear. And in this, it's another reminder, Israel, God's people, God's chosen people, called with a spiritual distinction, called through the covenant promises of God to obey. Called to obey. Remind ourselves, Exodus 19, we see that. And verses 3-6, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him to the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. A reminder, it's all his. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel, a set purpose that he had from the very beginning. Which is why when we see things like replacement theology, I remind you, boldly stand and help folks understand the truth. Church, no replace. An exercise on that, I just did it with someone the other day. Read Romans 11, and everywhere where it says Israel, say the church and read it out loud. It just doesn't make sense. I wonder why. So we see here this beautiful reminder and purpose that comes through these people. And then we think of us being grafted in, and we realize that our desire for his mercy, our desire and seeking his blessings, our desire and seeking that we know him for us with the whole counsel of the word of God should then be connected to all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So there's this link for us grafted in, right? We have a purpose too when we look at these, the beginning of this, the mercy of God, the blessings of God, his face smiling upon us. It too should drive us that we want to see his way known in all the earth and that salvation would take place among all nations. It's applicable to that. So when we go on, verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. That all again. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. This call to praise, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let praise be present. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Every single one. All. Why? Because there's going to be gladness and joy. Why is there going to be gladness and joy? You shall judge the people righteously. You shall govern the nations on earth. This is where we think to the time that we are in the church calendar and where the people, they thought when Palm Sunday came, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is it. He's come to reign. Woohoo! Crucify him. Because he's not what they wanted. The realization isn't there. He is the one who's come to save. But it's not a temporal save. It's an eternal save. That's why when we see this, we see he's coming to reign and rule. It's a promise he's given to Israel. Genesis 12:3, all the nations are going to be blessed. Through who? Jesus Christ. Saints, that's why we say thank you, Israel, for the word of God. Thank you, Israel, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we then say, Jesus Christ died, buried, rose, coming again. He's coming again. The King of Kings is coming, and when he comes, he's going to reign and rule after the tribulation. So we have to understand what this is pointing to. It's going to occur. And because of that, we need to praise and we need to share this. So we see, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. It's a call to praise. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Ponder that. Ponder the need for all to praise the Lord God Almighty with gladness and joy, which means it's passionate. Gladness and joy is passionate praise. And where does that passionate praise come? Because there is a passionate desire for his return. There is a passionate desire for his return. Saints, how's your fire for the rapture? How's your fire? How's your hunger for his return? How's your hunger for his return? How's your hunger for that? How is your desire to know he's coming. He's coming. I want us to bring back the pointing up, man. I think that's so cool. Like, look up, he's coming. How's your hunger for that? We cannot lose that. And then in it, if we think of that excitement with gladness, with joy, does it then fuel the fire for the calling to share? Does it fuel the fire for the calling every single one of us here has to share who he is? Do you pray for Israel? Do you pray that even as they would look to this, they'd realize the king, when you see it, he's coming back. He's already came. He's coming back. Jesus Christ, that's who it was. Scales fall off their eyes unto salvation. So when we see this psalm, we think, because it's a song of praise, it's also a prayer. It's prayerful praise. And look at where it starts. Again, the first thing, God's mercy, his blessings, his face smiling upon you. And then to ponder and to desire his return and to share who he is to all. And all the peoples praising him, because we see that there's that, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you, can't take place, saints, if we're not sharing him. Our lives are a worship song unto the Lord God Almighty. Forget that not. Our lives are a worship song. And guess what? There's some dissonant notes when there's trials, when there's pain, when there's hardships, but our Lord is faithful. The dissonance always resolves to consonance because he is constant and steadfast. So it's important for us to remember that. It's important for us to see that and ponder these things and then ask myself, who needs Jesus around me? Who needs Jesus? Who around me doesn't know the Lord? And I can share the King of Kings and say, listen, let all the peoples praise, all the peoples. Then verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. And it's interesting, coming out of those two Selah portions, what's that heart? Everybody praise. Everybody praise. I think of the Sunday mornings here when we sing praise and worship. I love this body when it comes to that time. I love this body always, to be clear. But this is a singing body. That's why sometimes I'm like, no instruments, they sing. Let the people sing, because it reminds me of a glimpse of heaven. It's literally a glimpse of heaven because it's this cacophony of just voices lifted up to the Lord God Almighty. And saints, think of that moment, memorialize it on your heart, and when you're out and about, desire all to be able to praise the Lord like that, to lift voices up to our King. Because he's not slack concerning his promise. We saw in 2 Peter 3:9, who does he want to come to repentance? All. And the all that we see here, guess what it is all. So as we look at the first five verses alone of this, I got a question for you. Is your heart for all to praise and know Jesus? And you got to really interrogate that one. Because I think sometimes if we're honest, if we let the Lord search our hearts, we actually exclude some from that all. Is there anyone, if they walked through the doors of this church, you'd have a little, oh, they're a little weird, or they smell funny. Is that all? Does that count as all? And the culture that we're in with gender, if someone comes through the door detransitioning and wants to know Jesus, are you ready? Is that all? Does your heart break for the all that breaks the Lord God Almighty? Does your heart break for the all that breaks the heart of the Lord God Almighty? We sing that, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Can you sing it and mean it? Because we gotta desire all. We can't put ourselves in the way that the world does. The world likes to say, love is love. Come as you are. And they're wacky with it. we got to take that. The church has to take that, but it's not then stay as you are. It's come as you are. Let me tell you about my Jesus who loves you, and let him transform you through the power of his word and his spirit, the way he transformed me. Let me tell you who I was before I knew Jesus. Can I tell you about my Jesus? Can I pray with you? I want you to know Jesus. And saints, I'll tell you, when we hit Franklin Street, praise the Lord for the saints doing it. If you haven't gotten involved yet, do it. It is a blessing to see, because guess what? We get all kinds of things and folks and situations. But it's not about, oh, you lifted up your shirt, you're nasty, gross. No, we're going to stand with you, we're going to look at you, and we're going to keep sharing truth. Because you're all. And the Lord God Almighty's heart is broken right now. Because it's a spiritual battle. And we need to realize there are people in bondage to the enemy. And we got to be the light. So again, when we see this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Verse 5, let all the peoples praise you. Is there anybody that you don't want in your all? Have you created a picture-perfect all where everybody looks the same way, reads the same books, walks the same way? We all like our tea. Break the walls down, guys. All means all. And my prayer for this body of believers, with the love that we have for Jesus and each other, that we pray, Lord, bring them all. And let's see what the power of the Lord God Almighty does to break bondages and to transform lives for his glory. Miracles and wonders from the Lord God Almighty. Then the earth shall yield her praise. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So we see here now this blessing that's coming, this yielding of a harvest. And this is pointing a little bit here, if we think and look at Leviticus chapter 26. If we look there, this is a chapter that gives a good kind of reminder of God's covenant with Israel. And it starts with this, you shall not make idols for yourselves. It's this reminder right at the beginning with that covenant. God's first. God is first. It's all about him. Verse 4, I'll read actually starting in 1. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. There's one God. You shall keep my commandments and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, what? Then I will give you rain in its season, and the land shall yield its produce, and the fruit of the trees, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So we see in reminding ourselves, and we've looked at this in other passages in the Old Testament, remember it was about this blessings and curses that would take place, contingent upon obedience. If you go down a little bit to verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like the iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And we think of what we see in this psalm of praise. God shall bless us all the ends of the earth. The earth shall yield her increase. This idea that harvest is going to be plentiful as we are praising God, as we are in obedience to God. It's going to be plentiful. It's going to be wonderful. This is a physical harvest. But think about what we talked about a few verses earlier with the rain to come, his coming again, his reigning forever. There's another harvest that the church needs to be thinking about when we read this, that the Christian needs to be thinking about. The harvest of souls. the harvest of names added to the book of life. With Jesus Christ in the cross, this shifts. It becomes a spiritual harvest. And we're reminded, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's going to provide what we need. Emphasis on need. What we need, he will provide. Because again, remind ourselves where we started. God desired to bless all nations through what? His people Israel. How is that fulfilled? Jesus Christ coming. Jesus Christ coming. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. All the ends of the earth. As we seek to spread the gospel, as we seek to go out, the church is grafted in. God desires to bless his bride through the preaching of the gospel. So when we look at this psalm, we see this prayerful praise. There's the heart of God, and we've got to match our heart to his heart. Because what he desires is all to trust him, all to obey him, all to fear him, all for his glory. That's the path that it's looking for. That's what it's looking for. But how is your heart for God's heart? Because is that your heart? Trust, obey, fear, reverence, fear, and cherishing the fact he is the great I am. That's why we're taught in one of the places where Jesus speaks on prayer, thy will be done. We surrender to his sovereignty. It's not about what I want, it's about what you want. It's about what you want. God, our own God, shall bless us. And again, tied to this harvest, I think something that was tangible for me with this verse and recently for us as a body of believers was the heart and vision for God and praying so much for this body as the Lord's been laying so much prayer, prayer, make my house a house of prayer. And then to see Sunday when the Lord led, let's just pray for each other. And it was truly a moment to behold the glory of God. Because it was his people in reverence, awe, in surrender, interceding for one another, for his glory. That's what it's about. That's seeing that in action. And when we think of this idea, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, it's realizing in this heart of praise, thinking of his mercy, thinking of his blessings, his face shining, looking to all to come to know him, looking excitedly to his return, that we then pray, Lord, how do we reach the ends of the earth? And saints realize, Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, we are about to go on a trip. It's not just Pastor David and Dan. It's all of us. It's through the prayer. It's through the financial support that people do. We're all going. Praise the Lord. We don't all have to take the plane ride and have the jet lag. Thank you, Lord. But we're all going. That's why we pray for the trip. That's why we're all doing that together. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. A prayer, a praise. And then we are living in the fulfillment of this prayer. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Guess what, saints? We get to be a part of an answer to this prayerful praise by this psalmist, of the Lord being exalted and going forth through all to the end of the earth. That's an exciting thing when we think of Resurrection Week, when we think of all that he's done on the cross. And we look to that, remind ourselves, John chapter 4. Verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruits for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. There's that theme again of that rejoicing that we see looking to his return. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labors, and you entered into their labors. Listen, we're just got to be faithful to what the Lord calls us to do with a heart that breaks for what breaks his and desires to see all praising him. Sometimes you're the one planting the seed. Sometimes you're the one watering the seed. Sometimes you're the one pruning the seed. Sometimes you're the one that gets to see the blossom blow and that person say, I surrender. I want Jesus to be my Savior. But our call is to be faithful to wherever he calls us on the journey, to be faithful unto it, to be faithful unto the Lord God Almighty, because we remind ourselves, we remember, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And if a city that's set on a hill can't be hidden, imagine that city all praising God and the light that shines forth from faithful praise. The charge for this week, one, pray and ponder and live, verse one, and that's Selah. God's mercy, God's blessing, God's faith upon us. So pray and ponder and live, verse one, that's Selah. Then pray, ponder, and live, verses 3-4, that's Selah of his return and sharing who he is. And then also, you're praying and pondering these two Selah portions of the scripture, but then three, what part of all peoples is he asking you to reach out to? And what part of all do you ignore? What part of all do you ignore? Because it might be uncomfortable, but they need the love of God. And four, pray for Pastor David and Dan, because it's an extension of us going to the ends of the earth, saints, with this very thing that all nations, India, sold out for Jesus. Let all the people praise. I want to remind us, again, charge, pray and ponder, verse 1, Selah, pray, ponder, and live, verse 2, verses 3 to 4, Selah, what part of all is he calling you to reach, and what part are you ignoring, and then praying for the trip that's coming up. But a passage I want to remind us of as we get ready to close and pray is 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. When you see that beginning of this psalm, that God be merciful to us, saints. When your name's in the book of life, you've experienced his mercy. And to pray and ask for his mercy has such depth. We're all called to this priesthood. And may we seek to pray his mercy and blessing and his approval for each other. It starts at prayer. To him, it starts with prayer for each other, all for his glory. All for hearts breaking for what breaks his. All that we would desire to see his bride living and being what he needs and what he calls us to be for this season. And it's us taking the time to pray for one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Can you teach us that ditty? And some folks already know it. Caswell, they all know it because we do it at the end. The old one. The old one, yeah. No, the old one. Can we do the old one? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Can you do that? Okay, cool. It's just like we're at Caswell, except we don't have the uniforms. Let's stand up all together. And this is a beautiful thing. There's a new version of this song too, which we'll do another time too. But I just like that old one. Because the first time I remember hearing it when I went to Caswell, I was like, whoa, we should all do this all the time. And learn it and let's sing it to one another. So,
the Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee and be gracious unto thee.
The Lord lift up
his countenance
upon thee and give thee peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time, Lord. And Father, we do pray, Lord Jesus, that we would seek your presence, Lord, more and more. Father, we ask for your blessing, your mercy, your grace upon us to be your hands and feet, to be your salt and light, that all would praise the King of Kings. Be with my precious brothers and sisters on their travels home, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed night.